Picture this. It's the summer of 2025. You are a 65-year-old scientist, a Turing Award winner,
Right.
literally known around the world as the father of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
You walk into work and you discover that your new boss is a 28-year-old college dropout.
It's just a crazy mental image.
It really is. Today, we are doing a deep dive into part five, chapter 13 of our sources. The chapter is called Leaving Meta.
Yeah.
And our mission today is to untangle exactly why Jan LeCun, after, 12 years as the undisputed face of Meta's AI division,
Yep.
just decided to walk away from unlimited funding to start completely over.
Which is such a striking move. I mean, it's a complete inversion of the traditional corporate hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just a story about corporate drama or, a clash of egos.
No.
It is a really profound look into the collision between pure, unadulterated scientific curiosity and the, honestly, the frantic, quarterly driven panic of the modern tech industry.
Frantic is definitely the word. Because to understand how a 65-year-old academic ended up reporting to a 28-year-old startup founder in the first place, we have to look at the inciting incident.
The panic.
Exactly, the $14.3 billion panic.
Yeah.
Because before ChatGPT completely changed the world, Meta had spent years and just a massive amount of capital betting on virtual reality.
Right, the metaverse.
They went so far as to change their entire corporate identity to focus on it. But when ChatGPT launched, the world's attention just shifted overnight.
Oh, instantly.
And Meta suddenly realized they were standing on the wrong side of a technological revolution. They were entirely behind in the AI race.
And that realization, it led directly to April 2025 and the disastrous release of Llama 4.
Disastrous is putting it mildly.
Yeah, I mean, Meta rushed to put out a model that could compete with Anthropic and Google and OpenAI, but it performed terribly in the real world.
Right.
And what made it far worse was that almost immediately, accusations surfaced that the benchmark data had been manipulated.
Yeah.
The version of the model that Meta put on the public leaderboards was allegedly tweaked to look vastly superior on specific evaluation metrics compared to the version developers could actually download and use.
Right. And LeCun himself later described it by saying the team had dusted the data,
Dusted the data, yeah.
which I want to clarify what that means for anyone who doesn't build AI systems.
Yeah.
Dusting the data, or data contamination, is essentially sneaking the test questions into the study guide.
That's a perfect way to put it.
If you're evaluating how smart an AI is by giving it a standardized test, but you accidentally or, purposefully include the answers to that test in the billions of pages of internet text the AI reads while training, it's not actually reasoning.
No, not at all.
It is just reciting memorized answers. So it looks brilliant on paper and
Yeah.
fails completely in practice.
And that failure had immediate severe consequences. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg was reportedly furious.
Oh, I bet.
He realized the current reporting structure for the product development line was just failing. So he decided to do what tech billionaires do. He bought his way out of the problem.
Right.
In June 2025, Meta spent $14.3 billion to acquire a 49% stake in a company called Scale AI.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
I want to spend the moment on Scale AI, because they're often described as the blue-collar engine of the AI industry.
Yeah, that's accurate.
The illusion of artificial intelligence is that it's all pure, clean mathematics happening in a server.
Yeah.
But to make a model smart, you need massive amounts of data that has been meticulously labeled, categorized, and refined by actual human beings.
Real people sitting at computers.
Exactly. And
Yep.
Scale AI built the infrastructure to do that human-in-the-loop refinement at a massive global scale. Everyone relied on them. OpenAI, Google, the entire industry used Scale AI's data refining pipeline.
And the underlying dynamic of that acquisition is so crucial here. Meta was essentially trying to buy lost time with money. By purchasing nearly half of Scale AI, they effectively bottlenecked their competitors who relied on that exact same data pipeline.
Right, cutting off the oxygen.
Exactly. But the real prize for Zuckerberg wasn't just the data infrastructure, it was the founder,
Alexander Wang.
Alexander Wang, 28 years old. Zuckerberg immediately appointed him as the chief AI officer of a brand new division called Meta Superintelligence Labs.
Okay, let's unpack this. It is like buying an entire national highway system just to hire the guy painting the lanes and then immediately making him the CEO of your car company.
That is exactly what it felt like internally.
Because it reorganized absolutely everything. It placed a young, highly aggressive, business-focused executive directly above LeCun.
Yeah, you now have an academic whose entire philosophy is built on unhurried foundational research,
right,
answering to a startup founder whose entire career is built on rapid scaling, market dominance, and just ruthless execution.
So you have this hyper-aggressive 28-year-old installed at the top, mandated to win at all costs. I have to imagine that immediately puts a target on the back of any department that isn't producing immediate sellable products.
Oh, absolutely.
What happened to the research utopia that LeCun had spent a decade building?
Well, to understand what was lost in that transition, we have to look back at the fall of 2013.
Okay.
At a dinner table at his home in California, Zuckerberg made three distinct promises to LeCun to get him to join the company and start FAIR.
Which stood for Fundamental AI Research.
Right. First, keep the lab in New York, far away from the Silicon Valley echo chamber.
Nice.
Second, allow LeCun to keep his professorship at New York University. And third, and this is the big one, publish all research openly to the public.
And that third point defined their entire culture. Mm-hmm. FAIR was built on a 10-year academic timeline.
Yeah.
It was never about the next financial quarter. And that freedom led to massive industry-defining breakthroughs, the most significant being PyTorch.
Oh, PyTorch was massive.
Right. It's an open source framework developed by FAIR that researchers use to build and train neural networks. It became the absolute baseline standard for the entire global AI industry.
Yeah.
Giving away PyTorch was like giving away the blueprint for the hammer so that every builder in the world would construct their house on your foundation.
And it proved LeCun's core belief. If you open your research to the world, you attract the brightest minds, they build the best tools, and ultimately the company benefits from being at the center of that intellectual ecosystem.
Right.
But under Wang's new superintelligence labs, that 10-year timeline was just obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
FAIR was abruptly rebranded as an innovation engine.
Ugh. Innovation engine.
Yeah, in corporate speak, that basically meant it was now forced to serve immediate product goals.
And it was a brutal restructuring.
Yeah.
In October 2025, Meta laid off 600 AI staff.
Unbelievable.
They completely disbanded renowned research groups like Tian Yundong's reinforcement learning team.
Yeah.
Which, for context, reinforcement learning is the type of AI training that operates by trial and error. It rewards the system when it makes a good decision. Much like training a dog.
Right.
It's a slow, complex, highly theoretical field.
Yeah.
So they scrapped that, and instead they brought in highly product-focused people, like Shengjia Zhao, who had previously worked on ChatGPT at OpenAI.
Product people.
Right. And suddenly, researchers at Meta were required to have their academic papers pre-screened for business viability before they could even submit them to scientific conferences.
Yeah.
Wait, I have to stop you there. I look at Meta spending tens of billions of dollars on computer chips and engineering salaries. From a pure business standpoint, LeCun's 10-year academic playground sounds like a massive luxury.
Sure.
If a corporation is funding the lab, isn't it completely fair for them to force his team to actually build products they can sell?
You know, it is a completely valid argument from the perspective of an executive trying to justify a quarterly budget.
Right.
LeCun understood this friction, actually, and he had a very specific analogy for it. He called it the two circuits theory.
Okay, two circuits.
Yeah. Imagine an electrical wire. On one side, you have the slow, steady, low-voltage current of foundational research. It takes time, it makes constant mistakes, it explores dead ends, but it ultimately builds the technology of the next decade.
Okay.
On the other side, you have the high-voltage, incredibly rapid current of product development. It's frantic, it's loud, and it needs immediate results.
Yeah.
When you try to run both of those currents on the exact same wire, the wire just burns out.
So the culture burned out.
Exactly. Fear of layoffs completely replaced intellectual curiosity.
Wow.
Instead of asking big foundational questions about the nature of intelligence, researchers were just trying to survive the next quarter by tweaking existing products.
Right.
And for LeCun, the idea of having research screened for business goals before it could be peer-reviewed by the public was unacceptable.
Yeah, he hated that.
He viewed unpublished science as self-deception. If you aren't willing to show your work and let the global scientific community attempt to prove you wrong, you aren't actually doing science. You're just doing public relations.
That's a powerful way to look at it.
Yeah.
But the structural changes weren't the only thing, right? The final breaking point for LeCun was much deeper than losing his team or the timelines.
Right.
It was a fundamental philosophical dispute about whether artificial intelligence should be locked away were given freely to the world.
Yeah, the ideological rift.
Because as Meta pushed harder to monetize their position in the AI race, they started to change their tune on open source. They began locking down the weights of their Llama models, transitioning it from a free, open tool into a paid, closed service.
Right.
And for those who aren't familiar with the term, the weights of an AI model are essentially its mathematical brain connections.
Yeah, the core of it.
The model spends millions of hours and millions of dollars learning how much value or weight to give different pieces of information.
Yeah.
Without those weights, you can't see how the AI makes decisions. You just have a useless shell.
Exactly.
But Meta justified this lockdown under the banner of safety.
And this justification, it directly clashed with who LeCun is at his core.
Right.
To understand his reaction, we really have to look at how he describes himself.
Right.
On his own website, he defines his identity through a very specific set of lenses. Now, we are simply reporting this impartially as his personal self-description, but he states he is a scientist, an atheist, a proud Frenchman, and someone who strongly despises U.S. right-wing monopoly.
Okay, so a very clear sense of self.
A very clear, very staunch sense of self. And from his perspective, these layers of identity leave absolutely no room for corporate subservience.
Right.
He firmly believes that safety does not come from corporate secrecy. It comes from broad public scrutiny.
Because his logic is that if you lock a model inside a vault, only a small handful of people at the company can see its flaws.
Exactly.
If it has a bias or a vulnerability, it stays hidden. But if you open it to the world, thousands of independent researchers will find the vulnerabilities and fix them.
Yeah.
And if LeCun's nightmare scenario comes true, it means every piece of software you use, every AI assistant you rely on, is controlled by three or four corporate black boxes.
Which is terrifying.
Right. You'd have zero transparency into how these systems are making decisions about your life, your finances, or your information.
And beyond the open source debate, LeCun fundamentally disagreed with the entire technical direction the industry was taking.
The LLMs.
Yeah. He firmly believed that large language models, or LLMs, were a completely dead end for achieving true human-level intelligence.
Really? A dead end?
A dead end. He argued that an LLM is essentially just a highly sophisticated statistical engine. It predicts the next token or, you know, the next piece of a word based on analyzing massive amounts of text data, but it has absolutely zero understanding of physical reality. It doesn't understand gravity or friction or object permanence.
Ah, okay. So an LLM is essentially like a parrot that has memorized a physics textbook.
Yes.
It can recite the equation for gravity perfectly because it knows which words usually follow each other. But if you push that parrot off a branch, it doesn't intuitively know it needs to flap its wings.
Exactly.
It has no physical intuition of the world it's describing.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. The parrot can generate a beautiful sentence about an apple falling, but it doesn't intuitively know that if you drop the apple, it will hit the floor.
Right.
And because of this limitation, LeCun literally went on television while still serving as chief scientist and stated that LLMs would be obsolete in 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. He also called the industry fear-mongering about AI taking over human jobs extremely destructive.
Think about the magnitude of that for a second. You have the chief scientist of a megacorporation publicly stating that the company's multi-billion dollar core product, the very thing his new boss was hired to monetize, is a dead end.
Yeah.
That is a staggering level of conviction.
It is. And it also highlights a broader trend LeCun saw across the tech landscape. Companies were using the concept of existential safety as a convenient excuse to protect their market share.
Ah, of course.
Right. If you can convince the public and lawmakers that AI is too dangerous to be open source, you naturally restrict the market.
You build a moat.
Exactly. Only the three or four massive monopolies that can afford to build closed proprietary models will survive the regulatory hurdles. He foresaw a highly dystopian future where humanity's foundational communication and reasoning tools were owned by a handful of monolithic tech companies.
So you have a situation where his laboratory is dismantled.
Yeah.
His core belief in open science is violated. His technical philosophy is entirely at odds with the 28-year-old executive now signing his performance reviews. The inevitable conclusion finally arrived.
It did. But, you know, the departure wasn't a sudden, dramatic, door-slamming incident.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't a Hollywood movie scene where he storms into the CEO's office and throws his badge on the desk.
Right.
It was a slow, deliberate, anticipated untangling. The news of his departure broke in November 2025, but he didn't officially leave the company until January 2026.
and he already knew exactly what he's going to do next. He left to start a brand new company based in Paris.
Yeah.
And the focus of this new startup was entirely on world models, which goes back to our parrot analogy. A world model is attempting to build the intuition of the wings.
Right.
It's an AI that doesn't just read text, but actually learns the way a human child does by observing the physics and constraints of the real world, building a mental model of how things interact in physical space.
And the location of this new startup is highly symbolic. Well, returning to Paris is poetic, because years earlier, the original Llama model wasn't mandated by Mark Zuckerberg or the executives in California.
Oh, really?
No, it was born out of a rogue, curiosity-driven project by a small team of researchers in FAIR's Paris office.
No way.
Yeah. It was a bottom-up innovation, the exact kind of decentralized, curiosity-driven research that FAIR was originally designed to foster before the corporate hierarchy tightened its grip.
That is fascinating. But you know what the ultimate corporate irony in all of this is?
The funding.
The funding. Meta, the company that effectively pushed him out for his refusal to fall in line with their LLM strategy, agreed to be a partner and an investor in Lacoon's new Paris startup.
Yeah.
Wait, so Meta basically tells him, your vision is completely wrong for our current roadmap. They dismantle his lab. They put a 28-year-old in charge of a completely different strategy. But then they hand him a check just in case he's right.
That is precisely how mega corporations handle existential risk.
Wow.
To Meta, investing in Lacoon's startup was essentially an insurance policy. They are pouring tens of billions of dollars into the current trend of large language models. But if LLMs really do hit a wall in 5 years, exactly like Lacoon predicts, Meta still has a foot in the door of the next big breakthrough. They hedge their bets.
It makes sense. And for Lacoon, leaving at the age of 65 wasn't a defeat.
Not at all.
It was a return to his roots. Early in his career at Bell Labs, he didn't just theorize about neural networks on whiteboards. He built physical machines that could read handwritten checks.
Right.
He has always believed in proving his theories by actually building the machine rather than arguing about market trends in a corporate boardroom. He just wanted to get back to the work.
Exactly.
Oh, and remember those three promises Zuckerberg made in 2013?
Oh, right.
Meta did actually keep one of them. Lacoon kept his NYU professorship and even delivered the engineering school's commencement speech in the spring of 2026.
And, you know, keeping the professorship really underscores a defining characteristic of his departure.
Yeah.
He didn't leave because he was afraid of losing his position or his prestige. He left because he was terrified of losing his direction. He recognized that his time horizon, a 10-year view of fundamental exploratory science, was completely incompatible with a company operating in a panicked 3-month product cycle.
So when you pull back and look at this entire 12-year timeline, Jan LeCun's exit from Meta wasn't just a clash of egos or generation.
No.
Though it certainly had those elements, it was the definitive end of a grand experiment. An experiment to see if pure open scientific research could survive inside the belly of a modern megacorporation that is ultimately driven by quarterly panics, benchmark manipulation, and the desperate need to capture market share.
And as we race toward human-level artificial intelligence, we have to ask ourselves a crucial question.
Yeah.
Will the ultimate breakthrough come from a massive multi-billion-dollar corporate server farm trying to predict the next word in a sentence? Or will it come from a small, quiet lab in Paris trying to teach a machine why an apple falls to the ground?
That is exactly the question we want you to mull over today. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring the unseen architectures of the tech world, and we will catch you next time.